All right, Roddy, so first thing we're going to do is rewind the time. The one thing I've always noticed about you is you're always laughing, always smiling, always having fun. You seem to just have a passion for life. Where does that come from?
I don't know. It started when I was a kid. You know, I've been passionate about everything I did, no matter if it was sports, you know, in the classroom, whatever I did. I just always had fun with it, you know. Mm-hmm. And ever since I was small, I just always liked to smile and things like that. And, you know, I'd be in class and, you know, a teacher used to always say I talk too much, but,
right.
You know, I just was having fun, you know, no matter what it was, I always tried to make whatever it was positive, no matter what it was.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I just carry that attitude into the day, you know, yeah. And even on the football field, I go out there and everybody's always asking me why I'm smiling so much. I'm having fun, man. You know, yeah. Life's great. You know, right. I'm having a good time.
Right. Staying positive is important. And I think I might know where that comes from because I've met your mom, Janita, and she's always smiling, always positive energy. My parents used to love hanging out with her at football games. And so I know that your mom, when growing up, she would come home from a long 10-hour shift.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. She'd go take you in the backyard. She'd start racing around the back. Would she let you win?
I don't know if she would let me win. You know, when I was little, my mom used to always, we always used to race and run and things like that in our backyard. And mm-hmm. Especially when we had barbecues and stuff like that, we would always, have fun doing all that stuff. And
yeah.
We'd get on the line and we'd run on the dirt roads.
Right.
And, you know, she could always run, you know, back in the day. And it's probably where I get some of my speed from, you know. And when my dad came over occasionally, he would run with us. So.
Right.
It would be fun, man. You know, it would be fun.
Your mom, Jonitha, she sacrificed a lot for you, didn't she, growing up?
Absolutely. You know, and, she's like my inspiration. You know, mm-hmm. She's my whole, you know, why I go out there and, you know, I'm so motivated and stuff like that because she motivated me throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, always being there with me, no matter what it was. You know, I participated with it. She didn't let me quit.
Right.
You know, sometimes I did want to quit some of them sports, and she was like,
right.
No, you're going to finish them all.
Right.
So she did a heck of a job. I must admit, it just motivated me, and every day, you know, trying to help me to get better, whatever sport it was.
Right.
And we had a lot of fun with it, you know. And every time I did good, she was right there at the gate to meet me at the end of the day, you know, with a smile on my face. So.
Now, when you were joined a rec league for football, and you were a little too small, they weren't heavy enough, and they didn't want to let you play, right?
Absolutely.
But your mother, Jonitha, was. She was determined. Tell us about what she did when they weren't going to let her little boy play the game he loved.
Yeah, that was crazy because it was actually the first game of the season. And, so we get to the park and they used to have a scale right there that all the kids had to weigh in on.
I remember that.
So, I get on the scale. It was like, oh, he's too light. He can't play. She was like, oh, my God, how you mean you're not going to let him play? And they was like, well, he's got to make the weight. And I was like, well, what weight do you have to make?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And,
how much do I have to eat?
Yeah, you know, how much I got to eat before this game? And it was like, no, he's already weighed in. So she kind of went berserk. And
She lobbied a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Pulled some strings,
talked to some people.
Yeah.
And the next day, you know, I was playing. So she did a lot, you know, even at times like that when they didn't want to see me play and stuff like that. She kind of lobbied for me.
They let you. I mean, she was persevering. She was going to make sure you were able to play. So you did make the team.
Yeah.
But then they didn't put you in. Maybe they were afraid you were going to get hurt.
Yeah.
So she went back to the coaches again and said, look, once someone's on the team, everybody gets a fair chance to play.
Absolutely.
Talk about what happened when you got that first opportunity.
Absolutely. Because, it was the first game, and we was getting beat bad, too. And I haven't played a snap the whole game.
That's probably why you're getting beat.
And I'm on the sideline. I'm all teary-eyed and things like that.
Right.
And my mom goes to the coach. She was like, hey, man, you need to put my son in the game, right? Because yes. This is ridiculous. And, so he was like, well, we're going to try it out. So they put me in the game. First time I touched the ball, I go like 80 yards. I scored a touchdown.
To the house.
So, yeah, after that, I was in the game after that every play.
I want to talk about academics a bit because when you were in high school, you missed out on opportunities to go to South Carolina and Clemson because you had to take the SATs 8 times before
yeah.
you passed. And we know you went to UAB, and we know how the story goes. Great story. You obviously did it the right way eventually. But is there, looking back on it, is there some message you would give to today's youth about academics that maybe you would have done differently when you had the opportunity?
Absolutely. The thing that I kind of messed up as when I was in high school, I just did enough to get by, you know, and that was my thing. If I could make C's, I'd just make C's in class.
Right.
You know, and I make an occasional B and things like that, but I never pushed myself into academics. Mm-hmm. You know, all I thought about was sports, you know, and how I could, you know, get to the next level. Until my junior year, you know, and everybody kept telling me, you know, you got to take the SAT to go to college. So I'm like, you know, standardized tests. I've been, you know, taking standardized tests for my whole life, you know, and I've been getting by.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, this thing should be a piece of cake, you know, and so I get my grade point average. It was like, oh, you got to make a 900 on this thing. I'm like, okay, no problem. I can make a 900.
Right.
You know, that can't be that hard.
Right.
Oh, boy, I was in for a rude awakening.
Right.
So, yeah, I started taking the SAT and had to take it over and over again. And my mom just kept pushing me, signing me up for classes and getting me tutoring sessions and, you know, dropping me off, you know, from 8 to 10 every night and, you know, getting somebody to pick me up. So she wanted me to go to college so bad, you know, and I wanted to get there. So she was doing everything to kind of get me in that direction,
wow,
whatever it took. And, you know, that was so special about her, man. You
right.
know, she, no matter if it was sports or academics, she would push me, you know, as hard as
right.
I could. And, you know, them classes weren't cheap.
That's right.
And them tutors weren't cheap, so. She did a heck of a job, man. You know, and you know, like I tell kids today, just never just do enough. Always max out your potential, no matter what it is. You know, never leave anything on the table, and don't hold anything back because
right.
it can cost you at the end of the day.
Another thing from your past, a lot of people probably have heard about it, but maybe some people haven't. You were a 2-time state champ in wrestling.
Yeah.
Wrestling. I mean, you look at you. You're this fast, blazing speed wide receiver. You never think wrestler, but you know, being a wrestler, I know that that's a totally different sport.
Yeah, it was. And
what did it teach you about?
Oh my God, it taught me a lot. You know, and everybody, football is a hard sport, no doubt about it. 2 days is hard.
Right.
But I've never been through training and
right.
getting my body prepared for a season like wrestling does to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the discipline you have to have in it, and it teaches you to just take on one-on-one battles. You know, everything's an individual effort. You know,
right.
you one-on-one so much in wrestling. And it just teaches you to win one-on-one your individual battles. You know, and football's a bunch of individual battles out there. When, you know, and the number one rule in there is win your one-on-one matchups.
Right.
You know, on Sunday. So, you know, that's what I learned. My competitiveness, you know, just going out there and being one-on-one and being able to win. You know, all that came from wrestling. You know, and It just sold me to a new height, and just getting my body, you know, prepared mentally for football and being able to just go out there and just continue to run and not be tired and not tell myself I'm not tired. All that came from wrestling.
Mental toughness.
Yeah, just mental toughness, just going out there week in and week out and just knowing you got to wrestle for 6 minutes straight as hard as you can,
mm-hmm.
using every muscle in your body. You got to get prepared.
Right.
So that's right. what I did.
Now, Roddy, we're going to go between the lines. And we'll talk about some of your teammates, talk about the game in between the lines. What's a trait that you admire about one of your teammates, Matt Ryan?
He's always well-prepared.
Well-prepared.
Well-prepared guy. You know, he stays prepared for every situation.
Mm-hmm.
And very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people might not think, you know, you go out there and see your quarterback goes out there and he's calm, cool, and collected. But he's a competitive guy,
man. He's cutthroat, isn't he?
Yes. And,
yeah.
You know, he expects everybody to be in a certain place and he wants you there.
That's
and
right.
he wants you there on time. So
right.
He's a guy that's a great leader, you know, shows a lot of leadership quality, especially out there, and takes control of the huddle. That's probably the best aspect that he has. He gets everybody lined up and he gets the flow of the game. He likes tempo.
Yeah.
You know, he's a rhythm guy. And, you know, that's probably his best attribute, just going out there and just templing and just knowing everything out there on the field.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to surprise that guy.
All right, so talk about what's something you admire, one thing most about Tony Gonzalez?
Just how consistent he is.
Uh-huh.
You know, year in, year out. You know, he's the epitome of what you want to be on a football field, how consistent he is. Mm-hmm. He comes out there and seems to do everything right. You know, right. You see this guy do it over and over again. You think at some point, you know, it's going to slow down, but mm-hmm. it never slows down.
Right.
You know, he's just the most consistent guy I've ever been around. And he's taught me a lot since he got here.
Right. I want to talk about that because I want to get to you now between the lines. But touching on what you just spoke about with Tony, I mean, one of the first things I noticed when he first came to Atlanta, he's always going out early or staying late to catch passes. You never used to do that. You do
until
that
he got there.
Now. So that tells me something about you. You're never content. You're always hungry, aren't you?
I'm always trying to find ways to get better.
Always finding an edge.
Always trying to find the edge. You know, obviously, him playing at an elite level, you know, and him doing all the things he's done in this league, you know, I used to just watch him like an ego when he first got here. Just see everything he's doing. Everything he did, I kind of did, you know, and try to, you know, model my game after him, you know, because in this league, that's one thing they want you to be is consistent.
Right.
You know, and that's how you become reliable and the coaches depend on you.
Yes.
You know, so that was the biggest thing, you know, just watching Tony day in and day out. And watching how he prepares and gets ready for games and just goes out there and execute, you know, and I wanted to play at that elite level. So wow. I just copied everything he did.
What's the main difference between this team and the team from a couple years ago that was 13-3? I think I know what you're going to say, but what's one of the main things that you see as different?
Just more focus. Ah. This team's been focused since OTAs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody knew it's going to be a lot of pressure on us this year to get things done and to go out there and play, like, really good football and be consistent at all positions. And, you know, from the beginning of the season, coaches brought the stamp that everybody has to find a word for their player that's going to help the team get better. Mm-hmm. So everybody's been, you know, making, you know, it's coming up with their words and everybody's been sticking to that and trying to become a better football player. So one of the words was moment, and one of them was one. One of them was consistency, you know, and you just take one word and you just roll with it. You know, one of them was smart. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people want to become smarter players on the field, you know, and in the film room. So we just been taking words and just applying it to our football ability.
Yeah.
And I think it's been working really, really good for us. You know, and another thing that we did was hold each player accountable. Like, there's no more excuses, you know, around here about, okay, we didn't do this right, or we busted the coverage here because of this. Everybody's held accountable and everybody's holding each other accountable.
I'm a firm believer that we conform to the people with whom we surround ourselves. And, you know, you've openly admitted that early in your career, you weren't focused. You know, do you think hanging around the wrong crowd had something to do with that?
For me, I didn't take football that serious like I thought I should. Mm-hmm. I mean, just hanging around the people that I was hanging around, just totally didn't
have the same goals as you.
Yeah, absolutely. And during that time, I just thought that it was other things that were more important than football.
Right.
And it kind of set myself back into reality, you know, going through those phases in my career. You mm-hmm. know, especially early when I was dropping passes, mm-hmm. not being able to make plays, and just being benched, you know, and going into my second year and, you know, being the starter for half of the season and then being benched. Mm-hmm. It kind of brought me into reality, you know, that, you know, this game is based off performance.
Right.
And every week I got to go out there and perform at a high level. And I got to do everything, no matter what it is, to get myself mentally and physically prepared to play on Sundays. And, you know, coming into my third year, you know, I just rededicated myself to football because I love playing the game, you know. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, those first 2 years I wasn't having fun.
Right.
You know, and I wanted to go back to, like, the fun riding. And I told myself, you know, rededicate yourself and do whatever it takes, you know, to become an elite player in this league. And that's what I did.
Yeah. To me, you are one of the most perfect examples of the power of focus. Because I did some reading, and in 2006 there was a game where you dropped a pass that, had you caught it, Falcons may have gone to the playoffs. And that was a wake-up call for you. You realized that there were some things you wanted to change. So is that something that made you focus?
Absolutely. You know, to this day, that play still kind of bands in my mind, and I always tell myself, hey, that can't be you. Mm. You know, always go out there and, you know, get your mindset to be on the game, because that was a pivotal play, actually, in our whole season.
Right.
And we probably would have made the playoffs and went on, you know, probably would have season would have turned out totally different.
Right.
And, you know, just being wide open and watching the ball come and hit you right in the stomach and the defender fall down and you drop it, it kind of scared me so much. I told myself I can't be that guy. You know, that's how much it hurt. You know, it hurt on the inside. Like, you know, that was my chance to actually, you know, help my team win, and I let everybody down. So, you know, that scared me, and I told myself I never wanted to be that guy again. I never wanted to let any of my teammates down. Mm-hmm. I always wanted them to count on me, so when the game's on the line, they would throw me the ball, and I wanted to make the play.
All right, one last fun thing here for Between the Lines. You know, I did an interview a few weeks ago with a guy you may know as Willie Moe. William Moore said that if he could play any other position on the football field, without a doubt, he would be a receiver, because in high school he broke records, scored all these touchdowns. And I said to him, okay, do you think Roddy White could cover you? If he had to play safety and he had to cover you, would he be able to cover you? He said, no way.
That's funny.
You have any messages for him?
Yeah, absolutely. He would not catch a ball on
Lock
me.
Lock him down.
Will Moore would never, ever catch a ball
Would
on
he even
me.
Get off the line?
Maybe 2 yards. I'd give him 2 yards. Yeah, maybe 2 yards off the ball.
I like that. If you had to play any other position on the football field, which position would you most like to play?
I would like to play corner so I could lock him way more up.
There you go.
You know, I want him to come on out there, me and him one-on-one all game. I'm going to put these hands on him.
'All right, Roddy, now we're going to go inside the mind. And I'm a firm believer that the great ones in this world, whether it's in sports or in business, it's not that they're different than everybody else, but they think differently than everybody else. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. You know, all the great players that I've been around, you know, that I talk to, they're always finding ways to find out things that the other guys don't know.
Right.
Or they're always trying to find things or do something extra that the guys don't know. You know, and that's my biggest thing. And you know, I've sat down and talked with a lot of wide receivers in this league and actually worked out with a couple of them. And I'm always trying to figure out what they do to become, mm-hmm. you know, such great players and things like that. And I figured it out. We all think the same. We're always trying to get better, and we're always trying to learn from each other.
Not a physical difference.
It's not a physical difference. I just know that it's mentally. All mental, because we all do the same thing, you know. And
I sit down.
Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, I sit down with Fitz, and every year I get a cut up of all the top wide receivers in the game, and I watch them during the summer. I watch each and every last one of them, mm-hmm. all top tens of them, and I see what they do in games, and I steal it. and I talk to him, and he does the same thing.
So would you say that you're never content?
Never.
You're
you can't ever
hungry.
Be content. Not in this league. Yeah. Because they'll pass you up. They'll pass you
There's
by.
There's always someone
time.
Hungry waiting to take your spot.
Exactly.
So I heard you mention briefly moment earlier. We're talking about a word, moment. And people, when they have a goal that they want to achieve, often, like we talked about, they can achieve it, but they just get distracted. So talk about you. When you're one-on-one, mano-a-mano, versus one of the best athletes in the world trying to cover you, trying to lock you down, trying to embarrass you, the crowd is loud, your body is hurting, all these distractions. How do you stay in the moment? Is there something that you focus on, something that you think about that allows you to get in that moment and only see the task at hand?
My focus is I'm so locked in once the game starts, and I'm so mentally focused. I don't even hear the crowd half of the time when I'm in the game. You know, once the huddle's broken, I got to play. I'm just reading inside out, you know, and figuring out the coverage and then trying to see what my defender is and beat my defender. So it doesn't matter if we're on the road or at home. I don't hear anything from the crowd.
Right. So I'm when just there's distractions there. Around you, you
all
just
of that,
don't even pay attention.
Tunnel vision.
out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. You know, I'm looking straight ahead, and my guy, my thing is I have to beat this guy because Matt depends on me
right.
to be at a certain spot, and right. I got to be there so I can catch this ball to help our team win.
So focus.
That's
got
it.
And we talked about, we opened up with just your attitude, your positivity. I mean, we're going to face adversity in life. We're going to run into idiots every now and then. I mean, there's just negative people in this world. So, I mean, how do you stay so positive?
I just smile, man.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what people say, you know, I've been to the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, I know how it feels to get booed,
mm-hmm.
to get talked about, to say I'm a bust, I should be traded. So I don't even think there's nothing else that they can say bad about me that I have to respond
That's
to.
That's right. Love it.
You know, I've been through all the negative stuff and, you know, all the people saying, you know, mm-hmm. I can't do this. I can't be an elite player in this league. You know, so I feel like every year I got to go out there and prove myself. Yeah. So that keeps me grounded. It keeps me going hard. You know, every year is a new year. Every year is a new beginning. Yeah. So every year I know I got to go back out there and be at the top of my game. You know, in order to stay at the top of the league.
All right, last thing. Rapid fire inside the mind. Short, quick, little glimpse inside of your dome. I don't know if we want to go in there, but here goes. If you could trade places with any one person for 1 week, real or fake, alive or dead, with whom would it be?
Denzel Washington.
Okay, well, let me ask you this next question then. If a movie was made about your life, who would you want the lead actor to be played by?
Denzel Washington.
Who would be the woman of your affection? Who would the actress be in that movie?
Oh, wow. Paula Patton.
Paula Patton.
Yeah, I like
it. Look at that smile. Yeah. You hear that, Paula?
You hear that, Paula?
All right, if aliens landed in front of you right now and said, Roddy, in exchange for anything on our planet, you can have any position on our planet, what would you want your role to be?
That's a tough one. I want to be Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell of the aliens.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. What's
Commissioner
your,
of the aliens.
What's your favorite word?
Consistency this year.
What's your least favorite word?
Failure.
What's a sound or a noise that you love?
70,000 people cheering.
Don't. What is a sound or a noise that you hate?
Boo.
Okay. If you could do any profession other than your own, no athlete, what profession would you be?
I want to be in the shoe department. I want to be the head of Reebok. I want to design my own shoes and make my own clothing line. And
what color would those shoes be, that first pair?
Oh, man, they would all be loud colors, I can tell
loud.
You that. Pink, orange, green, turquoise.
Love it. What's a profession that you would least like to do?
Oh, man, football. I'd hate to be a GM.
Right.
Or a coach.
That's stress.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much stress for me.
They work hard. If you have one, what's your favorite book?
The Energy Bus.
You like that one?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, Smitty did a good job with that one.
No vampires.
No energy vampires.
What's your power animal?
Oh, boy. I like a tiger. I'm a tiger guy.
I see that.
Yeah.
I see like that. Tiger. If you could, how would you describe Roddy White in 3 words?
Oh, man. Tough.
Tough. Yeah.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Competitive. Yeah. That's me, babe.